chief of sinners though I be. That'll probably give you an idea of where the service is going today, huh? After our opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, Setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. When we get to the introit, we'll sing that together. Two options for the hymn of praise. This morning we'll sing the Gloria, and we'll make sure that we are on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, where you dwell, distributing your gifts, your word, your forgiveness. Heavenly Father, teach us to rely not on ourselves, not on our works, not on our status, not on our pride. Teach us true humility, which relies on Jesus and His blood alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's in His name and in His blood that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 611. service setting one, page 151. Page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit for the day.
God is in his only
pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you.
Almighty and everlasting God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let us join together in reading the gradual for today.
In God my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to Him. To you, O Lord, I call on my rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to you for help.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 613, to thee, omniscient Lord of all.
Jesus, let thy precious blood be to my soul a cleansing flood. Turn not, O Lord, thy guest away, but grant that justified I may go to my house at peace with thee. O God, be merciful to me. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Luther penned those words that we just sang just seconds ago, based on our reading for today, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's about mercy. It's about being justified. But more than that, it is about the blood. It is about the blood. Now, if you were paying any attention, the word blood doesn't even show up in our Bible reading for today. But it's all about the blood. God promises to meet his people wherever the blood has been shed. That's the way it has always been. That's the way it was then. And that is the way it was now. Think back to one of our favorite Lenten hymns, Glory Be to Jesus. Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies. We had that in our Old Testament reading. But the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. It's all about the blood. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. God promises to be where the blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. The book of Leviticus, the book of Hebrews teaches us clearly, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. Today, we have a pretty familiar story for many of us. We don't want to be like the Pharisee, you see, the little kids sing. Why? Because all about the fluff and the stuff, it's all about me. We want to be like the immoral tax collector. Things just get out of whack right off the bat when we start looking at this parable. We have two people who come into God's house, the temple. So far, so good. Why did people go to the temple? Because that was where the blood was. The blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Sheep, goats, doves, pigeons, bulls. The blood is shed. And it is shed. And it is shed. Day after day, week after week, year after year, the blood is shed and it is never done. It is never over. The blood keeps being shed. Sacrifices keep being made again and again and again. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. People come to the temple for the forgiveness of sins. People come to the temple as God had commanded, because this is where the blood of Jesus is. Well, at least the sacrificial blood that pointed forward to Jesus. So, both the Pharisee and the tax collector go where they're supposed to go. So far, so good. But now we have a problem. The Pharisee, big shot, religious leader, pastor, elder, vicar, he's a big shot in the church. Everybody knows that this is a pious, holy person. Nothing wrong with being a pious, holy person. But this pious, holy person goes to the place where the blood is and then wants no part of it. He wants no part of the blood. It's all about him. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. The Pharisee was all by himself. That doesn't seem like a bad thing. But he was in a place, he was in an area where everyone could see. He was drawing attention to himself. He prayed thus. It's a bit of a weak translation. He prayed about himself. He prayed to himself. He didn't really pray a prayer. Kind of made a statement. We've had people do that, haven't we? You know, somebody says, "Can I ask you a question?" But then they don't ask you a question. They tell you exactly what they think, exactly what's on their mind. Kind of the same thing here. "Lord, I'm going to pray. Oh, I'm a great guy. Oh, I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. And you know the best thing about me? I'm not like him. I'm not like that scoundrel over there. I'm not like that tax collector." Because we all know that tax collectors are no good, lying scoundrels. They're in cahoots with the government. They lie, they cheat, they extort money out of people. Now, sometimes we get things a little bit mixed up here. By extolling the tax collector, sometimes people might get the idea that it's okay to be an extortioner. It's okay to be an adulterer. It's okay to be a cheat. It's not. Those are sins. Those are bad things. And the tax collector knew it. And so he stood far away. Because that's what happens when we sin. Our sins drive us from God. Our sins separate us from a holy, holy, holy God. And when we know our sin and our sin is heavy upon us, we are driven to our knees and realize that we do not deserve or earn or merit anything that would mean we could come close and come into fellowship with God. The tax collector was not a good guy, and he knew it. He went to the temple because that's where the blood is. He went to the temple knowing his sin, full of remorse, begging and pleading for the mercy of God. Now, you've heard me say many times, the difference between grace and mercy is very simple. Grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve, like the grace period on an insurance policy. You don't deserve or earn that extra 5 or 10 or 30 days. It's just there. That's grace. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. We all deserve to go to hell, to be punished for our sins. God, in His mercy, doesn't give us what we deserve. Two sides to the same coin, grace and mercy. He doesn't give us hell. Instead, He gives us Jesus. But there's something much more going on here in our reading. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We can't tell from our English translation here, but it's all about the blood. This word for mercy is not the regular mercy word. It's the blood word. God, be favorably disposed to me on account of blood. The fancy church word that we use and sometimes ends up in our readings or our hymns is propitiation. Propitiation. Be propitiated to me. Well, we don't talk like that, do we? Of course not. Now, imagine if you would. Someone is standing before the judge and they are guilty. They are guilty as sin. Now, the judge may show mercy and bite his lip and with a scowl on his face say, "Get out of here and don't ever come back." I suppose that would be like regular mercy. Propitiation is different. Imagine that same person and that same judge. The person is guilty of sin. But the judge, instead of meting out punishment on the individual, gets out his checkbook and pays the fine for him. and then invites him home for supper with the wife and the kids. That is propitiation. My friends, we are propitiated. God's mercy is upon us in a very special and unique way. It's all about the blood. Every animal sacrifice that took place in the Old Testament times pointed forward to the once and for all sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that takes away the sin of the world. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were repeated day after day, week after week, year after year. They were never done. They were never finished. Remember what Jesus, the Lamb of God, said as he hung, bleeding and dying, suspended between heaven and earth, naked with our shame, paying our penalty, paying our sin, our cost. Jesus said, "It is finished." Tetelestai, a victory cry. It is finished. It is complete. It is accomplished. You ever wonder why we don't have animal sacrifices in church? It's not just because the altar guild would be tough to replace. We don't have animal sacrifices because it is finished. Jesus has suffered and died, has shed his blood once and for all. One time on Calvary's cross for the life of the world, for your life, for your forgiveness, for your sin. My friends, it is all about the blood. You come into God's house today. Why? Why? Are you here for the blood? If you're not here for the blood, you're here for the wrong reason. The Pharisee came to church, maybe out of habit, maybe because he wanted everybody to see him. Maybe he was concerned about his social status or getting enough votes in the next Pharisee primary election. Who knows? He wasn't there for the blood. He was there to pump himself up. He didn't want Jesus. He was too full of himself. Let's be very, very clear. The things that the Pharisee did were not bad things. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, an adulterer. These are good things. These are good works. When you don't fall into gross outbreaks of sin, that's a good thing. When you train yourself, your mind, and your body through spiritual discipline, like fasting, that's a good thing. When you give of your gifts, your talents, your time, your treasures for service in the Lord, that's a good thing. That's not the problem with the Pharisee. The problem with the Pharisee is that he trusted in these things. And because he trusted in these things, these good works, this self-justification, he had no use for the blood of Christ. He had no use for the justification by grace through faith that comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. The tax collector, knowing his sins, knowing that it's all about the blood, came into church. Maybe he thought the walls and the roof was going to crash down. It had been so long since he had been to church. But he knew that's where God promised to be. And he was there. He didn't make a show. He knew it wasn't about him, that it was about the blood. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, propitiate me. Lord, cover me with the blood that can forgive sins. Maybe like we sing, maybe he thought to himself, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy blood, thy cross, I cling. By outward appearances, we have a good guy and a bad guy. Pastor Morandi always used to say, in every parable, there's a that's crazy moment. Well, guess what? The good guy ends up being the bad guy, and the bad guy ends up being the good guy. That's crazy. Today, we come into God's house. We know our sin. We sin daily. We sin much. We sin against the first table of the law, our relationship with God. We have false idols in our life. We have false worship by how we allot our time. Our prayers are often more to us and about us than to the one true God. We ignore or take his name in vain. Our sin is always before us. The second table of the law treats our relationship with our neighbor. We don't always respect our authority, whether it be in the home or in society or in the world. We don't treat our bodies as if they are the temple of the Holy Spirit and a gift from God. When we see life and the sanctity of life being flushed down the toilet, what do? For the most part, nothing. We treat God's gift of sexuality as if it's a commodity or a plaything rather than a gift from God. We talk and we talk and we talk. Maybe it's on the phone. Maybe it's on Facebook or Twitter. I have a new name for Facebook, by the way. Are you ready for this? I have a new name for Facebook. My new name for Facebook, crack cocaine. I cannot believe how many people are addicted like crack cocaine. How easy it is, especially when we're anonymous, to say and do anything and everything. My friends, God has given you and your neighbor the gift of a good reputation. Treat it responsibly. Everything in moderation. My friends, God is not holding out on you. We don't need to sinfully desire our other neighbor's stuff or possessions or spouse. Our sin is always before us. We can look at other people and find someone who's a bigger sinner than us, thus deflecting our own sin. We can cling and lean to our own accomplishments and our own good names, hoping on the great scale of life that the good outweighs the bad. Or we can realize that God invites you to come into His temple. That's why we go to church. It's all about the blood. This is where the blood is. Whenever God's word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, you are covered with the life-giving, life-changing blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You have new life in His name. Whenever you remember your baptism and drown and die daily, there you are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. New life in Christ. Whenever God, through His humble servant, speaks the holy absolution into your ear, you are covered inside and out with the blood of Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven. Whenever you eat and drink the bread and the wine that are His body and His blood in the Lord's Supper, you are eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus is pumping inside of you. Your sins are forgiven. You have new life. New life in Jesus Christ. We come here for the blood. And miracle of miracles. Poor, miserable sinners like you and me. Go home justified, declared righteous, just as if I had no sin, ready to love God, serve our neighbor, to earn our way to God? Absolutely not. That would mean despising the blood. With our new life in Jesus and His blood on us and in us, what else is there to do but live our lives in faith toward God and love toward one another? My friends, this is God's gift to you today. The blood of Jesus, His holy, innocent, precious blood is on you. Soon it will be in you. And you go home and live your lives justified in Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess the new life, the justified life that God gives us through the blood of Jesus. Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, who
gracious God, Heavenly Father. We come before you this day with humble and grief-stricken hearts. We know our sin. Our sin is always before us. We have bought into the lie that our sin is no big deal. We have listened to the voices of the world and even our old Adam, convincing us that we can take care of our own sin. Heavenly Father, in humility, drive us to our knees. Teach us the inability to justify ourselves. And teach us, by your grace and mercy, to cling to Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, our sins and our burdens often weigh us down. We refuse to reconcile with one another. We harbor grudges and hate. Heavenly Father, fill us with your mercy. Cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ and teach us to forgive one another as you, in Christ, have freely forgiven us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, there are many who have drifted away from you, drifted away from your house, drifted away from the fellowship of the Holy Christian Church, drifted away from the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, bring them back by your gracious invitation to hear, to believe, and to go home truly justified. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to be with all of your servants who are sick or suffering this day. Reach out your healing hand to Donna, Katie, Diane, Janet, Kurt, Larry, Janet, Nicole, Ron, Anna, Scott, Deborah, Vicar Short, Justin, Louise, Lori, Jake, Al, Arnold, Willis, Dorothy, Sylvia, Shay, Gary, Greg, Heath, Jeanette, Sharon, Sarah, Kinsey, Joyce, Julie, Richard, Carol, Bonnie, the family of Eileen, the mother of Ron Kimes, taken to her eternal home this week, the family of Bill Prenasil, brother of Brian, taken to his eternal home this week, and all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. May the grace and mercy of God be upon all these your children, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those, Lord, who come at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of your Son in with and under bread and wine for the propitiation of all their sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have given us a great treasure in the truth of your word. Bless all the schools as they soon will be opening. We ask for a special measure of your blessing upon Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool. Help us to be good stewards of your word, good stewards of the precious gospel, and may the blood of Jesus Christ cover and saturate everything that we do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio and the internet. We pray that the blood of Jesus Christ would be over you and in you, and that you are truly justified in His name. Now with the offertory on page 159, please stand as you're able.
What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will
give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. We sing now the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the Common Doxology, 805.
Praise you, Lord, creatures here, be loved. Praise you, Lord.
love Jesus. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events, days and weeks ahead are listed. Got a busy time coming. Church picnic this afternoon, 3 o'clock out at McKinney's. Just about everything is provided. Bring a covered dish and a chair to sit in and a fishing pole, something like that. So the vicar has challenged me, so we're going to put him in his place right off the bat. Tuesday here at Good Shepherd, school and preschool, school begins. We'll begin our year with an opening chapel at 8:30 Tuesday morning. You're all invited. Next Sunday, big day, Sunday school rally day. Help us pass the word. And we got some special activities and treats and things all over, not only for the regulars, but also for the youth. Check out the news and notes for more details there. Tuesday, August 21, we could use some help unloading the vehicle at Pastor Moline's house, 2 o'clock. Duplex right over there, we'll have the address in for you next week. Pastor Moline's installation is on the 26th at 4 o'clock. We're still working on the details for what we're going to do after the installation service, so we'll get that out there, but please plan on that. And we have an insert in our news and notes today with the upcoming ACELC conference in Kearney, Missouri. Kearney, Missouri. Not Kearney, Nebraska. Kearney, Missouri. Suburb, just outskirts of Kansas City. It'll be a great time, and we're blessed to be a part of the ACELC. And if at all possible, if you can make the conference, it is definitely well worth your time. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We've been having some problems with the printer in the office. I don't know if we'll have a sheet to hand out, but we're winding down with our study on the formula of Concord. So please join us. We're going to look at the anti-Trinitarians and the New Arians. In other words, the modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. So, and what the problem is and why that's contrary to God's Word. Anything else, Vicar?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I have not. Vicar was installed last week. If you haven't had a chance to meet him yet, Vicar Bader. We have about 20% of the population of Worms with us today. So we got lots of family back there, mom and sisters, and well, of course, Gretel and Dawson, the little baby. But make them feel at home, and welcome again, and we're just getting started. So we got 11 and a half months to take care of you. Please join us for coffee and goodies, and have a great day and week in the blood of Jesus.